This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a new senator in the 21st district, and he's actually sitting on a committee that that we don't necessarily hear a lot about him from, but after this Waterbury case with this young man basically, I don't know, imprisoned in his own home for decades has brought a lot of attention. And we want to welcome in Senator Jason Perillo from the 21st here on Brian & Company. Mr. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And is it different? Like, do you go to a different? Do you take a? You used to take a left. You got to take a right. Is the conversation different? How does it? Is what's the difference between the House and the Senate?
Yes, I mean, so I served in the House for over a decade, and you know, the House there's 151 people. It's kind of crazy. There's a lot of chaos. You know, there's 36 senators, so it's a little bit more sedate, a little more quiet. There's not the chaos that you have in the House, but it's very, very interesting. A lot of great people, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
It's more prestigious, more boring, I guess, and calmer.
that's a good summary for you.
Yeah. Well, that's really it's good. It makes sense. I mean, it sort of reflects the way it is in Washington a little bit too. Although the Senate in D.C. is a little less deliberative than it used to be. But listen, I mean, this Waterbury case is awful. I mean, there's not a lot of words you can use, and obviously it hasn't been adjudicated yet. She's got to go to trial, and so we're a long way away from that, I'm sure. But what can the legislature do to maybe try to make sure something like this can't happen?
Well, I mean, look, there's two things. And step one, the immediate right now, is just holding the agency to task, right? Making sure that DCF does their due diligence, does the investigation, does it thoroughly, and then comes up with whether they be recommendations about policies that need to be different, statutes that need to be different. Maybe they'll identify the fact that they didn't follow a policy or they didn't do things the right way. But they've got to be honest and transparent about it. And then the next step for the legislature is to say, okay, now we have this information, this investigation is complete, and what do we do next? Yeah. Do we need to change things? How do we make sure this doesn't happen again? Because at this stage in the game where we are right now, that's the only win, right? I mean, this poor guy, like 20 years, the only win that can come out of this is to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
You know, And again, that sounds good. It's also it's hard to get too specific now, and I understand that. But when I just view the situation, I think of a couple things. I think that if you pull a kid out of school and homeschool them, they disappear. That's number one. Number two, it seems that the agency doesn't have either its internal systems are outdated or their communication within the department is terrible, right? There's got to be something systemic about the sharing of information that doesn't work. And so I'm wondering about those two particular instances, if you have any thoughts.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about the communication and the internal systems. And let's acknowledge the fact that the current DCF commissioner, she was not the commissioner 20 years ago. I don't say that these problems that exist there are necessarily her problems, but she is uniquely positioned to fix them. So when it comes down to those internal systems, and talking to other agencies, those are the kind of things that the agency needs to be looking at as it does this investigation, right? What could have kept this from happening? What conversations didn't happen? What didn't happen between DCF and the police department? What lack of follow-up was there with the school district? All questions into your point, like, we don't know the answers to those because that information isn't available to us. But, DCF has to do its due diligence to identify those problems and fix them. And I'm optimistic. We are, as a state, putting a lot of faith in DCF to do this work. I have no indication that they're not. But if they fall short, then the legislature steps in and does what needs to get done.
I think it's important to note. I mean, I have friends who work in the department. There are people that work very hard and are really good at their jobs. It's not an indictment of the whole group.
It's a mission of love. I mean, that is not an easy job. And the people that are there are doing it for the right reasons. There's no doubt.
Right. But there's obviously some things that need to change. So basically, to sum it up, like, you're going to wait and see how this gets adjudicated, and then maybe you'd react. But no, you're not going to have any potential committee hearings, public, like, stuff to talk about or flesh it out. You're just going to sort of wait?
Well, I think, look, in fairness, you got to give the agency some time to do its work. That said, they better do their work, they better do it well, and it better be complete and transparent. If those things don't happen, then there's a role for the legislature to say, okay, DCF, thanks for the effort. This is not sufficient. Now we're going to step in, and we may need hearings. We may need to involve other agencies. Ideally not, but we may need to.
We're talking with Senator Jason Perillo from the 21st District. It's Stratford, Seymour, Shelton, and Monroe. He replaced Kevin Kelly. And, I'm curious. I mean, the minority, I mean, you have some really talented Republican colleagues. It's not easy to be in the minority here in Connecticut right now. I'm curious about how you view, because, I mean, you've had to view it from the House, obviously, in a different way. But what do you think is going to happen with the budget? Do you think we'll end up tapping the rainy day fund? Do you think that the federal money is going to really come up as short as some people think?
I think that we are actually, honestly, at a very dangerous point in Connecticut's fiscal future. Those years that COVID money is gone, the ARPA money is gone, that kind of saved us over time. And actually, the bigger thing that has saved Connecticut are those, and we always call them fiscal guardrails, and a lot of people don't really know what that means, but they are essentially the tools put in place in statute a number of years ago to basically protect the legislature from itself. Because the legislature has this penchant, and I've seen it for years, to spend, and in many cases spend money that we don't have or won't have next year. So those guardrails have really effectively done that here in Connecticut. And those guardrails right now are what's at risk, because we've already heard it. We've heard it from legislative Democrats. We've heard it from the governor. There is an interest in breaking those guardrails down, breaking those protections down. And all that does is allow legislative Democrats to plow through that open door and spend money that we don't have. And if you remember, that's what got us into trouble back during Governor Malloy's administration when we were in serious fiscal crisis. Yeah. It was the out-of-control spending that is really, that's the danger right now.
Yeah, and I think the possibility of less money coming from Washington is a really strong argument to sort of, like, not do anything until you figure out what's going to happen. And you might not find out till May, right? And then you got to finish the budget in June. And it's not an easy job. Just real quick, we got like 30 seconds or so. Anything else going on with your committees or anything else on your mind you want to share with our audience?
No, I mean, the other thing, again, you know, in terms of what's happening right now, I thought House and Senate Republicans did a really good job yesterday tackling the issue of the executive branch doing the work that they need to do to investigate a slew of fraud and abuse cases within their own administration. And that is, you know, to your question about what's important, that's sort of next on our list of things that we need to keep reminding the public about. There's been a lot of problems in the administration, and they can't look the other way.
Yeah. There was some strong language yesterday from Senator Harding and so on. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. It's great to make the connection. Hopefully we'll have you on again. And again, congrats on the election win.
I appreciate it. Thanks.